people at work friends, but I don't feel as much encouragement when I go see them at work as when I come into the house of God and see my brothers and sisters. I feel Brother Lindsay shake my hand and Sister Kathy French speak a word over me just at the beginning of service. There's nothing like your spiritual brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for each of you. I hope that you're thankful one for another. We're going to be back in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Said we may be here more than once, and here we are again. We had started our endeavor to go through chapter 2, and we didn't quite make it. God, the Spirit of God took over. We are not necessarily going to finish chapter 2, but we do want to take a key verse again from chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So thankful for that. Amen. Can you ask that God would speak to us over the next few moments as we get into his word? Lord Jesus, Lord God, I'm so thankful. Lord, that you didn't leave me as I was, but God, that you spoke into my heart and that you have led me, that you have guided me, that you have delivered me, that you have answered me, that you have ordered my steps, that you have shown a light, God, and Lord, that there was a path, Lord, that I should take, Lord, that I might not be continually bound by darkness, but that there would be liberty and freedom that I would discover in your light and in your presence. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, and I pray over the next few moments, Lord, let your word come alive, Lord, I pray. Quicken it in us, we pray, and we give you praise in your precious name, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. This maybe is last week's lesson about spiritual growth. Maybe this would be spiritual growth part two, but maybe more than that, just talking about simply being doers. There is an expectation that you, that I, are removed from darkness into the light. There is an expectation that we do not continue to dwell in darkness. We come out of darkness into his light. It is a call. It is a direction. It is a summons that we cannot remain as we were. Now, I think we all get it that every one of us were born into sin. It does not matter how good we discipline ourselves and how righteous we may appear on the outside, we must have the saving grace of God Almighty. And without it, we are lost, and we are lost in darkness. But God has called us out of that darkness, out of that bondage, and into his light. And we must understand, however, that seeing the light is not the same as being in the light. Hearing the light is not the same as being in the light. Knowing about the light, recognizing the light, is not the same as being in the light. And this is how we have people that have heard the truth, that see the truth, that recognize the truth, that know the truth, but still choose to live in sin. Right? They recognize the difference between light and darkness, but somehow their misunderstanding is that simply by recognizing or seeing or hearing or understanding is the same as doing and physically coming out of darkness into the light. It's not the same. Those are not synonyms. And so I think we've all experienced this. I won't labor on it too much, but it's probably, at least for me and some of my family and some maybe that I have grown up with, that it is none more obvious than social media. And there are those of us, and you probably have friends and family that are in similar situations, you know that they know the truth. At one point, they were in the truth and living the truth. And now we know they're not living the truth. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they post something, they say something that lets us know they see the truth, they understand the truth, they know the truth, but they don't choose to live in the truth. Somehow Satan has confused their mind that simply knowing about the light, seeing the light, recognizing the light is the same as being in the light. They're not. The call is that we come out of darkness and into this marvelous light. It is more than recognizing, understanding, seeing, any of those things. We must dwell in the light. Jesus says it this way in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So simply hearing, knowing, understanding the difference between light and dark, but not allowing or commanding ourselves to follow the call that God has given us to come out of darkness into the light. I think that's what Jesus is saying here. We have become hearers and not doers. And not only that house that we build, it may look like everybody else's house, because we've seen, we know, we understand. But when things begin to press up against it, it will fall. And it doesn't say it will just fall, but it said, and great will be that when it fell. The ruin of that house was great. James continues on in 4 and 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. In other words, we have heard it. We see it, we understand it, we can repeat it, we can parrot it, we know it, we can share the right memes because we know the truth, we know the light, we see the light, we understand the light, we know it, but knowing is not enough. We must do it, and to him that doeth it not, to him it is sin. Knowing, seeing, admitting, speaking it is not the same as doing. You know, in youth ministry, and it's really not that much different than adult in this particular context. Sister Rachel and I taught youth for a number of years, and as we would pose any sort of question, and it would maybe kind of open-ended about what do you do in this sort of situation, or how do you handle this, and the response was the same. There were three things that they said every single time. And so you pose the question, and one of the students raises their hands, and you say, yes. They say, pray. Well, yeah, that's right, but there's more. Right? The next person raises their hand, read your Bible, right? Right. And then the next person is fast, right? So pray and fast and read your Bible. We know that is what we should be doing. By the response to those questions, even as children, even as young, they don't like to be called children, even as young people, youth, they already know spiritually what draws us into the light. I need to pray, I need to fast, I need to read my Bible. We know that, we also must be doers. If we are not doers, we build a house, as Jesus wrote, as James warned us, we know these things, and if we don't do them, to us, it is sin. It's not that we just are not achieving to spiritual heights. No, if we know to do these things, and we do them not, to us, it is sin. In adults, we hear things, maybe the context, maybe similar, but maybe it's more like this. I know I haven't been praying like I should, is the statement. What it is admitting, I know that this is important and I haven't been doing it. I know what I should be doing. The statement reveals that truth is known but not followed. Now, I'm not saying that we don't all fall sometimes I know at times we're having the prayer and at times it gets weaker. I understand that things go through that, but when we allow that to become consistent in our lives, that we are not doers, we are spiritually at risk. And so why would we bristle up when we maybe approach ministry or evangelist or pastor, someone that we look up to with a problem, and they ask us, how's your prayer life? Why do we get all defensive? I've shared it before, and I won't go back in the story, but years ago when pastor asked me that, well, how's your prayer life? I got a little defensive, you know. Well, it's fine. Yeah, no, it wasn't really fine. If fine by almost completely absent from your life is fine, then yeah, it was fine. But biblically, it was not fine. But why do we get defensive about that? Because we know the truth. And we have conditioned ourselves that knowing the truth is the same as doing the truth. The word is making it very clear. Knowing is not the same as doing. Maybe the statement, I need to hear from God. And why do we get defensive? Maybe if the pastor or the evangelist or whoever says, how's your fasting coming? How is your Bible reading coming? Well, you know, what we are saying when we get defensive about those things is, or not doing those things, is I don't have time to condition myself spiritually. I don't have time to do what God has called me to do. I don't have time to do what I know I should do. Maybe a translation to that would be, I know the light, I've seen the light, I can recognize the light, but I don't want to have to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why are we afraid of the light? We are, right? If we know that those things draws us into the light, why do we not commit to those things? And maybe that's why in Scripture says it's His marvelous light. That there is something maybe intimidated about being in light, but it's marvelous to dwell in the light. Maybe it's because we know that some things, if we are truly going to come out of darkness and into the light, there are some things that must be surrendered. There are some things that cannot come with us from darkness into light. Maybe it is sin, but maybe it is simply spiritual growth things that we know need to happen, and that is the most valuable of all things that we don't want to surrender, is time. You know, they say time is money. It's not that we truly don't know how to pray. Maybe we can get better at it, but it's that it's the time. I don't have time. And maybe reading the Word, I don't have time. These spiritual disciplines are what makes us doers of the Word and brings us, allows us to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Being asked the question, have you been reading the Word, when you come to ministry with some sort of problem, God speaks in His Word. It is the Word of God. Well, no, I need to hear the real Word of God for my situation. Promise, it's in here. It is so amazing to me. And I we don't share all these sorts of things all the time. But I just here recently, you know, praying, bless my ministry, anoint me. It's kind of personal things. But Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, give me wisdom to understand how to grow spiritually, how to make sure I don't fall, how to make sure I don't fall into pitfalls that other ministers have fallen into. God, how do I do these things? And here I am, just in my regular daily Bible reading, begats and begots, and thinking, oh my God, I just need to hear Your voice. And I'm reading. And I don't think it's by chance. I think that God could do the same thing whether I was in the New Testament, the Old Testament, in the Psalms, or in Proverbs. He begins to speak in His Word. And it's something I'm sure the pastor has noticed before, but I've never noticed before. And so I'll just share this. So here I am seeking very specific things. God, show me, give me wisdom in these areas. And I come here now to Genesis chapter 12. It's early in our Bible reading plan. I'm here in chapter 12 a few days ago, and it's the story of Abraham being called, right? He is asked to leave everything, follow after God. And I never realized, I should have, I've read this verse, I don't know how many times, but in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 4, there is somebody that chooses to go with Abraham. Anybody know who it was? Yeah, right? See, Brother Sam is way smarter than I am, right? I just never registered, you know, just kind of skim over that. Lot heard everything, saw everything, recognized the blessings of God, whatever it is. We're reading a lot into a scripture, but whatever it was, no one else said, Abraham, I'm going with you. But Lot said, I'm going with you. That's some spiritual wisdom there. I recognize the light. But then as I was reading, this is where God began to speak to me, things that I had never noticed before. So here it is, verse number 4, Lot's going with Abraham. Verse number 7, we see that Abraham builds an altar unto God. That seems like a great thing. Is Lot mentioned in that verse? No. You don't have to look it up. Where was Lot's altar? He was following Abraham, but where was Lot's altar? In verse number 7. That's interesting. And they go on just to the next, or just a few verses later, or actually really one verse later, in verse number 8, the very next verse, we again find Abraham building an altar. Where was Lot's altar? Does it ever mention Lot was at the altar with Abraham? No, it doesn't. The very next chapter, in verse number 4, we find Abraham again building an altar, at an altar. Does it mention Lot being at the altar or Lot building an altar? No, it doesn't. A few verses after that, again, Abraham at an altar. Is there any mention of Lot being at the altar, building his own altar? No, no mention of that. Where was Lot? Lot became mixed up, we know, with the wrong crowd in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if it wasn't for Abraham, he would have been destroyed. And so for me, God was speaking to me. Here's what God spoke. This is just my daily Bible reading. But I'm praying very specific prayer. And God's speaking to me. You want to know how you make sure you don't fall into the pitfalls of others? It's not just that you follow somebody, but that you build your own altars along the way. You can't just recognize truth, know truth, quote truth, see truth, recognize it all. Jason, at some point in your life, you cannot just follow somebody else who knows it and understands it. If you want to make sure you don't fall into pitfalls, when somebody builds an altar, you say, you know what? It's probably time that I build another altar too. God, I'm consecrating some things to you right here. And a few more steps later, God, I'm building an altar to you. What are you saying? Hey, you can't just know the light. Can't just recognize the blessings of some spiritual person in your life and follow them. At some point, you must consistently build your own altars. So, just daily Bible reading. And God's speaking to me so strong. Build your own altars. And then, as I'm preparing this lesson, how close it is to the topic at hand, Lot heard the light. He saw the light, recognized the light, followed the light. He followed Abraham, but he failed to get into the light. He failed to be a doer of the word. He failed to create the altars. He failed to consecrate. He failed to create dedication that would call him and move him out of darkness into the marvelous light. Convinced that he would not have been deceived. He would not have been where he was if he had been right beside Abraham building his own altars. Things would have been different. James chapter 1, verse number 21. Things we know, very familiar scripture. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You can leave that up for just a moment, Brother Tracy. The first half of that verse, we kind of speed through because these are words we not use. We probably get the last half of it. But so I just want to reread that in the Amplified version just for a moment. So get rid of all uncleanness. Let's not rush over that short three-letter word. If we want to come out of darkness into His marvelous light, there are some things that can't come across the divide with us. So all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. I love that, those words. But visualize here, this outgrowth of wickedness. It means that there are some areas that are perfectly in line, but there are some outgrowths that we have failed to deal with. And that can't come across the line with us. Those have to be removed. And so I think the rest of it we get fairly well. And there is an area, and in humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in our hearts, contains the power to save our souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. Here we are again. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We deceive ourselves if we don't also become doers. I'm glad, the word speaks, let's put it this way. The word speaks about more than repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can put that in a couple of sentences, right? What do we need this whole Word of God for? Because it tells us about more, things that are beyond, things the way we should live and sculpt and shape our lives. To negate that allows us to come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and be hearers but not doers. It must change us. So I'm glad, and if you haven't, you need to repent of your sins. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you've been baptized and don't know if it was in Jesus' name or know it was in the titles, I've got scripture for you. It ain't going to bring you to heaven. If we look at I'm just going to pause here for a moment. If we go into Acts, we looked at all these that are receiving, all of these apostles who now, we don't even know everything that Jesus spoke to them, but he spoke a lot of things to them which are not recorded in Scripture, and here they are now in Acts acting out everything that he has spoken to them. And every time that they baptize somebody, they do it in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Why? We sang it as we started the service. The power is in the name. The titles don't do anything in the name. And then we must be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't just accept it. We receive it with evidence, so we know we got it, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. We can find that out in Acts 2. All of those are well and good, but that is part of the process, that is becoming a doer, but it does not end there. Remember that as James is here writing to the church, saying, encouraging us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, or lest we deceive ourselves, he is not writing to people who have not repented, been baptized, and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He is writing to the church. So he is saying, it is not sufficient just to do those things, but there is more that must be done, or else we're just hearers and not doers. And there is danger in that. We must grow spiritually. I won't get into last week's lesson. Verse number 23, continuing on. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror we would think of. Verse number 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway goeth, get tongue tied here. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let me maybe break it down this way. We get into a service, and the Spirit begins to stir us, convicts us, leads us, reveals us. Really what it is it's like God holds up a spiritual mirror, and all of a sudden we couldn't see it before, but we see ourselves for who we really are, and it does not agree with what he says we should be. But now we see it. Right? So this is what conviction does to us, and it challenges us. And now we walk out of a service and we say, God, I'm going to commit to prayer. God, it's been revealed to me that, God, I've got to get into your word. God, I've got to let go of this outgrowth of wickedness that I've failed to deal with, and it's got to be removed. I'm going to remove it. We see into a glass, but we leave the Spirit and we forget what we saw in the glass. We no longer feel that. That is what James is writing to us here, is that suddenly we see spiritually, but then when we leave that atmosphere, we forget and we continue to do as we always have done. What, again, that's reinforcing what he is saying, that we are become hearers and not doers. It continues on, verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He calls us into light. We are to pursue light. And that man that pursues light, was it said, he will be blessed in his deed. God, it's impossible for me to do that. Suddenly you begin to pursue and God blesses you. And all of a sudden, why did I think I couldn't do that? And what are we doing? We are coming out of darkness into the light. We are not just hearers. We are becoming doers of the word. Verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Now, understand here, when he is talking about the tongue and not bridling the tongue, this is not saying that this is all-encompassing. This is simply an example of how if we are filled with the Spirit, we should be changed. So if God's Spirit is inside of us, it should change not only the inside of us, but the outside of us. And also by mentioning here, talking about the tongue, it actually confirms that. How do you say that? Because out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. So what is on the outside is indicative of what is on the inside and vice versa. So he is saying, if for some reason you don't have one or the other, that man's religion is vain. And at first pass, you don't even think about that. But then when you think about what vain really means, you know, we know what that means. We've all met the vain person, right? And they love themselves. they like the way they look, or they're consumed with the way they look. It is, in a nutshell, it's all about them. That's what it means to be vain, right? So here, what you're saying, let me break it down this way. If you choose to be hearers only, that man's religion is all about him. It's all about what I want. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about what I want to agree with. That is vain. And that's not, so James is speaking against this. He's saying, hey, that's not what this Spirit is all about. It's not just so that you can hear and accept what you want and reject what you don't want. We have to be changed. We have to be doers. We must come out of darkness into this marvelous light. This pursuit out of darkness and into his marvelous light is really twofold. I think we can probably get that, right? It is to be a doer and not a hearer only. So one part of that, we must be leaving darkness and we must be pursuing light. There's two sides of the coin, if you will. It takes both. Let me explain. You cannot bring your darkness and continue to dwell in light. You cannot bring his light into your darkness and hang on to darkness. Maybe let me go a little bit further. The life, the man you were, must be left in darkness. The old man passes away, right? But at the same time as we are giving up sins and things of the world and we are crucifying the old man, that's important. We're leaving darkness. We must also be pursuing light. So it is not only about things that we are removing from our lives, but it is also about things that we are adding to our lives. That's what makes us the doer, right? We cannot coexist light with darkness, or darkness with light. Maybe break it down this way. People say, you know what, and I've heard this, and I know pastors heard this. You know what, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I've got to get some things right before I get baptized. Pastor, I feel, and it's so disheartening to me. I feel the Spirit moving, and it's so awesome. But you know what? I've got to go, and what they mean is I'm going to leave and not come back until I get some things right. Now, there's some scripture for that, right? Sometimes we got to go take care of business, make some things right with the person. I'm not talking about those things, but there's people like, well, I've got to go quit drinking. I've got to go quit smoking. I've got to go do all of this. And yet they're powerless to affect change in their lives. Why? They're only doing one half of the coin. They want to leave darkness, but at the moment they're not pursuing light, and they're powerless. At the same time, some pursue God in worship and sporadic church attendance, and all of those are good things. Well, not the sporadic church attendance, but church attendance, right, is a good thing. So they love the worship, they like to be in worship, and they like to be in the church, but they refuse to pursue him in prayer and removing sin and removing stumbling blocks and reading his word and all the things that we know we should be doing, and they struggle. Why? Because they're trying to bring their darkness, who they are, the old man, into the light. They cannot coexist. They must be surrendered. We are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Things must be surrendered and things must be added. Paul writes, as we continue, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 14, and I kind of want to skip to that last question, if you'll allow me, here. And it said, "In what communion hath light with darkness?" He goes on, "And what concord, or what agreement, or what relationship hath Christ with Belial," with Satan? What? How are they, when do they become best buds, right? That doesn't happen. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The separation, the surrendering of sin allows us to pursue and dwell in the light. And pursuing to dwell in the light allows us to get freedom from sin and things that would hold us back. Verse 18, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." When does that happen? When does He become our father? When did He call us sons and daughters? When we come out from darkness and into His marvelous light. I know it's a lot of scripture heavy this morning. Bear with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 7. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." In other words, He's not calling us to continue to be who we were at birth. He's not calling us just to continue to be how He first loved us. He loved us when we were in sin. But He didn't call us to stay in sin. What is He calling us to? He's calling us out of darkness into light. He's calling us out of uncleanness and into holiness. Verse number 8. "He therefore that despiseth not man." Despiseth what? I know you can get lost there. So "he therefore that despiseth," talking about despises surrendering uncleanness for holiness. Despises letting go of darkness for light. It says that man despiseth not man. He doesn't despise the preacher, the minister, but God. He despises God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. James chapter 2 makes it clear as well. We're not going to go there, but it says, "Faith without works is dead." It is not enough to know the light. It is not enough to see the light, to understand the light, to agree that the light exists, to follow the light, to look at the light, to dwell around the light. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? We must be in the light. We must be doers. We must act on what we know and see. We must pursue. We must grow spiritually. We must, what is the word that Pastor said is that word he's been feeling for this particular year? We must press. Presseth. We must press. We cannot be so conditioned to be in and around spiritual things and say that that's enough. We cannot be in and around spiritual people and say that is enough. But we ourselves, the name that is on my social security card, me as an individual, must be a doer and must press into those spiritual things. As we all stand in this place, not only must we pursue and come into the light, thereby Jesus says, when we do that, when we press, we already covered scriptures, there's blessings that come on our life. Why do you think that there's such spiritual highs and then such spiritual lows for some people. I can look at some people and I could tell them, if they had an ear to hear, that they are so conditioned to become hearers and come around people that there's a wonderful atmosphere, a move of the Spirit, and they hear it and they understand it and they agree with it and they see it and they can speak it and they can tell other people about it on social media, but they don't ever do it. And so while they're in that climate, it feels so good, and they're on a spiritual high, and they crash 2 weeks later. Why? Hearers, not doers. I want my darkness, and I want the light. We can't have it both ways. But here's what Jesus said. Not only are we blessed when we pursue the light and become doers, but Jesus said that he does this for a reason. That by doing these things, we become a light unto the world. A city set on a hill. Not that we are worshiping ourselves or glorifying ourselves, but God said, I need a light in this world. And if you will come out of darkness into my light and become a doer, I will place you in a position that people will look to you, people will run to me. Because of the light, God calls us out of darkness. And when we become that light, when we become doers, that is how people come. And we believe that when someone comes to an altar and they start pouring out their heart to God, and we can come behind them and say, Lord, I pray that the hold of darkness is broken in their lives. I pray that bondage is broken. I pray that there is deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. And we begin to pray those things. Why? We don't only know it, but we have walked it. And by doing that, there is a power and an authority that is loosed in our hands. And that's why we begin to pray over people, and the Holy Ghost begins to fall. Why? We don't just know it. We walk it. We believe it. We do it. And that's why people walk out of this place and say, I don't know what happened at the sanctuary in Lincoln, but I felt something I've never felt before. It's because there's people in Lincoln that are doers of the word. Can we pray that God would direct us more than we've ever been? Lord, I pray right